First of all, welcome to the first Chazar Shi of the year. I look forward to getting to you as the year goes on. Please don't be shy. I'm upstairs on the second floor of the Beis Medrash, usually in the morning. So if you want to talk about any of the Inyanim that we're learning, please feel free to do so. I liked at the beginning of every section, I learned this from Rabbi Bleich, to just give you an idea of some kitzus farm that would be help you, that would be helpful for your limud beyond. This is not the end of Hilchserven, this is just the beginning of Hilchserven. So if you'd like to do research further, you should, or even to help you with the course for now, you should be aware of Rabbi Bechhofer's sefer on constructing Erevin in contemporary communities. I forgot the exact title, but it's available in English sefer. There's the Nesivos HaShabbos, which of course is the encyclopedic work reference for all of Hilchas Erevin, which is phenomenal. Rabbi Eider has a little pamphlet, really. It's a soft cover book on Hilchas Erevin. And our own Rabbi Simon has a nice sefer on Hilchas Erevin also, which is available downstairs. But now with the Daf Yomi, we learned Erevin recently. There's a lot of other svarim on Hilchas Erevin, which I'm sure are available in your svarim store if you're interested. The purpose of Chazar Shir in each section is slightly different depending on the style of Rebbe who happens to be giving it. So over here in Hilchas Erevin, I'd like to just spell out some basic ideas, which Rav Schechter kind of took for granted, and we'll move on from there. We're going to try and go Al Seder, the Shulchan Aruch. Some sections we don't do that, but here we'll at least start Al Seder, the Shulchan Aruch, and if we veer, we veer. The first Chazar, I try and get through the different ideas in the Rishuyos, to basically get down the basics of the Rishuyos and the conceptual basis for all of our Erevin. And Mirtz Hashem, next time, whatever it is, Sunday of next week, we'll talk about, we'll review a lot of the halachas of Mechitzos and Suras HaPesach. So today is the Rishuyos and the conceptual basis for Erev. Next week will probably be halachas of Mechitzos. So the first thing that we need to be aware of, though, is more of a Hashkafa issue, which is that there are two attitudes towards Erevin in general in our society, and one has to be sensitive to both attitudes, because there's a source really for both. The first attitude is that we have to go to every length to make sure that there is an Eruv. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that we're going to discuss this when we learn Hilchas Mila, that before Mila and after the Mila they would wash the baby in hot water as an antiseptic. And one time the water before the Mila spilled the hot water. So the Gemara says that that they asked the Rav of the town, which was Abaye, to go bring water from another house. So Abaye said, we can't bring water from another house. We don't have an Eruv. So the assumption of the Gemara was, I think it was Rava who asked Abaye, said, go bring from another house. And he said, we don't have an Eruv. We can't bring from another house. So Mordechai writes in that Gemara, he assumed that there was an Eruv. So the Mordechai writes that the assumption is supposed to be that there is supposed to be an Eruv. And in fact, the Chuvas HaRosh gets very angry at a certain Rav who was against making an Eruv in his community. So the Rosh says, you see from the Gemara that the Hanacha is, the basic, what should be, standard is, that there should be an Erev. And that's why some people go to great lengths, rely on many kulas, in order that there should be an Erev, to make sure that people are not going to be Mechal al Shabbos. At the same time, there's a Mishnah in Erev and a Daf Nun Tes, which says, an ear shel Rabim, an ear which the whole thing was a Rishus HaRabim, ein ma'arvin es kula. You can't make an Erev in the whole thing, why not? Shelo tishtakach taras Rishus HaRabim. So people shouldn't forget that there's an Isar Haitzah. When there was no Erev here in the yeshiva, I remember, before Baron Salvechik passed away, there was no Erev across the Amsterdam Avenue. So after he passed away, they built an Erev. But, because he was opposed to it. But you'd have people, they never heard of the Isar Haitzah. They didn't know how to conduct themselves. Everybody was like fumbling. Because they'd never once been in a place where there was never an Erev. So people have nowadays a little bit forgotten the Isar Haitzah. So what it means is we shouldn't be so cavalier with the Easter to make an Erev, and that people, because some people might forget the Yisr of Haitzah, and they'll violate Haitzah in a different setting. In fact, that's one of Ramosh's reasons that he was opposed to making an Erev in Manhattan. There are a lot of different possible reasons one could be opposed to an Erev in Manhattan. Rav Schechter has alluded to a few of them. But Ramosh and Tshuva doesn't go with the obvious ones. He goes with the less obvious ones. One of them is this idea. He says in Yerushalayim, he says, how come there was never an Erev in Yerushalayim? So Ramosh says, because if they would have built an Erev in Yerushalayim in antiquity, nowadays there is an Erev in Yerushalayim, but Ramosh says, how come they never built an Erev in Yerushalayim? So Ramosh says, because people will come to Yerushalayim and they'll see the Jews carrying, and then they'll say, oh, you can carry in Yerushalayim, must be you can carry in our little communities too. but they won't know that in Yerushalayim there was an Erev, and our little communities, you have to build an Erev. They'll just think that there's no Easter Hutzah on Shabbos. So Sotah Rav Moshe says, so many tourists come to Manhattan, spend Shabbos in Manhattan, and they're not going to know that there's an Erev here, and that's why you can carry here. They're going to think there's no Easter Hutzah on Shabbos, and therefore he was against building an Erev in Manhattan. Rav Menachem Kasher, in his Tshuvas, the Divrei Menachem, has a letter there from Tzvi Pesach Frank. He's against the whole premise of that kind of argument. That no, it's an obligation on the Rabbanim of the town to build an Erev, as opposed to something that we should be averse to because we're afraid that people will be too cavalier with the Yisr of Haitzah. In fact, also, the Breuer's community now, they say, well, Ramayu can't build an Erev in Manhattan. Ramayu was against an Erev in Manhattan. But if you look in Rabbi Schwab's Sefer, in Mayan Beis HaShoev and Parshas Vayakel, there Rav Schwab writes why he's opposed to an Erev in Manhattan. And it's not because of Rav Moshe's Tshuva. He doesn't mention Rav Moshe's Tshuva. He writes over there, the reason why he's opposed to an Erev in Manhattan is an interesting reason. But again, it's based on the same type of argument, the motivation. And that is, he says, how come Chazal Asa taking Lulav and Yom Tif, Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos, or the Asa taking Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyaz B'Shabbos? So he says, because the Gemara says, Gzeri D'Rabba, Shema Yavirenu D'Al Amas B'Shus HaRabim. You might take it for Amas and Rishus HaRabim to go to the Chacham to learn how to do it. So Schwab says, such a far-fetched chashash Chazal made not to take lulav, not to take shofar. So he says, yes, because we're learning Shabbos this year, because Haitzah is a malacha gruahi, it's not a significant malacha in many people's eyes, nothing changed, what are you really doing anyway? So, and because it's such a malacha grua, so insignificant, Chazal went to tremendous lengths in order to be makbid about the Yisr of Haitzah, and therefore they asked her taking lulav and shofar, when they fall, when Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. So too says Rabbi Schwab, we should go to the other, to the extreme, and not build Erevin in order so that people should be remember the Yisr of Haitzah. At the same time, the Baal Shem is quoted by many commenting on the pasuk in Habakkuk, "Bizam titzad eretz," that you march through the land with anger. Bizam. So the Baal Shem felt that it was his tachlis in this world to be masakin three things: to be masakin zam, which is a Rashi Tevois, for Zvicha, for Shchita, he was Mesak and Shchita, for Erevin, and for Mikvahs. So the Baal Shem held that he was his tachlis in life to build an Erev. So that's why many Chassidish communities are very open to Erevin. Litvish communities follow kind of the argument of Rabbi Schwab, that we have to go to the extremes in order to be makbid about the Yisr of Haitzah. Anyway, both of these two attitudes have makaros in their legitimate sensitivities, and when building an Erev in a community, or not, whatever, you have to be sensitive to both of these attitudes and to be aware of them. Okay, the first Shin Mem Hei, the first simon that is on the Chaimer over here, begins with a discussion of the four Rishuyos on Shabbos. In fact, the Menachem Zeman in Sefer Taitzos Chaim notes that there's somewhat of a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. When the Bavli is listing Rishuyos, so it lists a Mokom Ptur. That's one of the Rishuyos. Come on, Shabbos and Avav. When the Yerushalmi is listing the Rishuyos, it doesn't list Mokom Ptur as a Rishus. So Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Taitzos Chaim claims, Menachem Zemba claims, that it could be it's a Machlekes whether Mokom Ptur is a Rishus or not. Meaning, is Mokom Ptur an independent Rishus, like Rishus HaYachid, like Rishus HaRabim, or is it kind of it's an area that doesn't fit into any of the other categories? I like to call the E-Rishus, meaning it's just nothing else, so it's a Mokom Ptur. So if it's just nothing else, Mokom Ptur is not part of the list of Rishuyos. But if it's listed, like it is by the Bavli, then perhaps it has its own rules and regulations. And if you pay close attention, as we go through some of the halachas of Mokom Ptur, you'll notice that this issue comes up repeatedly. What is the nature of Mokom Ptur? Is it a Rishus, like the other Rishuyos? Or perhaps it's just something that's nothing else, but it doesn't have its own status as an independent Rishus. Either way, whether you do list Mokom Ptur, you don't list Mokom Ptur, Midai Raisa, there are three Rishuyos. There's Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and Mokom Ptur, which is neither. Those are the three Rishuyos Midai Raisa. Midai Rabbanan, they made a fourth Rishus, which is Carmelis. Midai Raisa, it's a Mokom Ptur. It's not a Rishus HaYachid, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't have Mechitza, it doesn't have the regular, the specifications of Rishus HaRabim. It's really Midai Raisa, Mokom Ptur, but they made it into a Carmelis. What is a Carmelis, and what is the difference between a Carmelis and a Mokom Ptur? What remained of Mokom Ptur, Midai Raisa, and what did they make Midai Rabbanan into a Carmelis? So the Shulchan Aruch tells you in Sif Yud, in Sif Yud Aleph over here, in Shin Mem Hei, that anything that has a sheer Mokom, like a yam, or a bika, sea, or a valley, that is, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, there's no Mechitza, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, doesn't have those specifications, but it is bigger than Dal al Dal Tfachim, so it has a Shir Makom. So then Midrabanan, they made it, that into a Karmelis. What remained a Makom Ptur, even Midrabanan, what remains a Makom, that's a Makom Ptur Midarais, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, not a Rishus HaRabim, they made it into a Karmelis, which is treated kind of like a Rishus HaRabim. What remains a Makom Ptur, even Midrabanan, what remains a Makom Ptur, that's anything that doesn't have a Shir Makom. So let's say a classical example of this is on top of a fire hydrant. That's not Dal al Dal Tfachim, and it's not a Rishus HaRabim, sticks out of the Rishus HaRabim, it's not a Rishus HaYochid, it's not 4x4 with Mechitzes, that's a Makom Ptur on top of a parking meter, if they still have them, or whatever. So that's a Makom Ptur. And a Karmelis is something that has Dal al Dal Tfachim. There is another type of Karmelis, though. There's another type of Karmelis, which is a Rishus HaYochid Midairaisa. Pshat alluded to this also. That's a different type of Karmelis. That's not a Makom Ptur Midairaisa. That's a Rishus HaYochid Midairaisa where they made an Isser Tiltul. We'll get to that later. There's a few kinds of that. You can have, if you hold three Mechitzas, it's good enough for Rishus HaYochid Midairaisa, Midairabanan. It's not good enough. That's a Karmelis Midairabanan. Midairaisa, it's a Rishus HaYochid, but there's no Tikkun on the Ruach Revius. So Midairabanan, that's a Karmelis. It's a different type of Karmelis. Or a Karpef, which is an area that's low hukuf ledira, meaning it has mechitzos that were there, that were put up not for dira purposes. They're put up for other purposes, for non-dira purposes, and then that would be a karpe. For karpe, if you're also not allowed to carry in midrabanan, even though midarais, it's a rishus hayachid. We'll get to that soon. Okay, those are the four rishuyos. We're going to go through the rishuyos a little bit in order. And we'll deal with each one independently. So the first Rishus that's dealt with by the Shulchan Aruch over here in Shin Mem Hei is a Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid is, in order to be a Rishus HaYachid, it has to be 4x4 Tfachim wide, and it has to have Mechitzos that are 10 Tfachim tall. If it's less than 4x4 Tfachim wide, so then it's not a Rishus HaYachid. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel has a discussion. Let's say with the wall space it's 4x4 wide. So does that count? Does the wall space count? So he's not sure. He quotes Machleik is about that. But then he says, quotes from the Rajba, that if you put, if it's royal lemeina chaleamida, you could put on top of it a plank of wood, on top of the walls. So he says, certainly on top over there, the walls are 10 tefachim tall, but it's only 4x4 wide with the wall space. So he says, if you could put on top of it a plank of wood, that will make, so at least on top of it, it's 4x4 wide. So he says, for sure on top is Rishus HaYachid. So, but he says, even though you don't put a piece of wood there, that means on top of the walls is Rishus HaYachid. What about inside? That is not sure. Yeah.
Isn't that against what
Rishus
HaYachid said
with
sealed mechitzos?
Why? No, then it's a tail. It has mechitzos, and it's 4x4 wide. That's not a sealed mechitzos.
You're saying just the area on top of the wall?
That's what Mishnah Berurah says. Yeah, you can look it up. Sifkan Gimel over here. Yeah. So it has to be 4x4 wide, and he has a discussion about the wall space. It also has to have mechitzos. So the Bir HaLacha, not here, but in Shin Samach Gimel, at the beginning, is a Bir HaLacha that has a discussion. How many walls do you need in order to be a Rishus HaYachid? Some say 3, some say 4. He quotes both opinions there. And then he quotes a contradiction in the Rambam. Rav Shechter mentioned this. Do you need 3 or do you need 4? So he quotes there the Yishuv, I think from the Prima Gadim, from the Rajba, I think, that it depends what it opens up into. If it opens up into a Rishus HaRabim, then you need 4 mechitzos. If it opens up into a Karmelis, so then it's enough with 3 mechitzos. Depends what it opens up into. Then the Chazon Ish, so we paskin, though, that you need 4, Midrabanan at least, you need all 4 walls. It could be Midrais, it's enough with 3, but at least Midrabanan you need a tikkun on the Ruach Revius. But midaraisa could be it's enough with 3 walls. You don't need 4. So, but then Rav Shechter mentioned his chazanish, which just to make sure everyone got it over there, is let's say you need 3 walls in order to be Rishus HaYachid midaraisa, but let's say you have a V, like this. Is that like 3 walls? Because you're only missing 1. Is the pshat that you're missing 1, or is the pshat that you have 3? So over here, you're only missing 1 if you have a V. So is that Rishus HaYachid midaraisa or not? So Shechter quoted the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says that if it's at a right angle, then you're missing 2. If it's less than a right angle, it's less than 90 degrees, then you're only missing 1, then it would be Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa. But if it's 90 degree angle or greater, then he claimed that was not a Rishus HaYachid Midaraisa. The Nesiva Shabbos discusses an interesting case, which is more relevant to our Erevin, which is that we don't make Erevin usually in boxes. It just doesn't work out like that. But usually in Manhattan, you kind of have boxes, but in the suburbs, there's no boxes. Every Erev is kind of like a circle. So he says, let's say you have half a circle. So he says, are you just missing one mechitza? Is that like three mechitzas? Is that like you have the bottom of a box like this without the top? So half a semicircle is like three mechitzas? Or do you say that that's like a right angle, that's missing two mechitzas? Not a Rosh Hashanah Yachamid Arayisah. So the Siva Shabbos says a kind of a similar svar to the Chazarish. He says if it's oval and it's longer than it is wide, so he says then you're only missing one mechitza. But if it's a perfect circle, then that's like a right angle. If it's wider than it is long, not like an egg, not oval. If it's wider than it is long, so he claims then you're missing two. That's like a right angle. Interesting. So it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah Midrash. Anyway, you need mechitzas three or four, as we're discussing, in order to be Rosh Hashanah Midrash. So the Shulchan Aruch over here in Shin Mem Hei Sif Beis mentions that there's three types of mechitzas. There's a charitz, an amud. A charitz is a ditch. An amud is a raised pedestal, a platform, where on top is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or a mechitza, which is a regular wall. Rav Shechtman mentioned the Chacham Tzvi holds that you can blend all three of these. So you could have a wall, and then if the wall breaks, but there's a charitz on the other side, so then you could jump from the wall to the charitz, back to the wall. All of these three types of mechitzas can all be used, even on the same bar of an Erev. They're all valid. One of the unique properties, if you collect them, as you read over here in Shin Mem Hei, there are four unique properties to a Rosh Hashanah Yachid that don't exist by the other Rishuyos. The first one that's unique to a Rosh Hashanah Yachid is that the Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Oila Adarakia. That's mentioned over here in the Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei and in Sif Yud Beis, that Avi Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Ki Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The airspaces of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid is like a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because the mechitzos of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid are Oila Adarakia because of the concept of good Asik Mechitzta, the Allah Chol Moshe Misina, that we view the world as going all the way up to the sky. So because of that, since the walls will go all the way up to the sky, the whole airspace is considered to be part of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. This is opposed to a Rosh Hashanah Rabim or a Carmelis, which are only go up 10 Tefachim tall. The airspace of a Carmelis and Rosh Hashanah Rabim only goes up 10 Tefachim. So if, let's say, in theory, if the windows in this building opened, I don't think they open because they're afraid probably someone's going to jump out or something. But, like in the hospitals, that's why the windows are open. But that's why they don't open. So if you would throw something out the window over here, into the windows of the first tall where they do open, so then, even if 185th Street, or what used to be 185th Street, would be a Carmelis or Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you would have done nothing wrong. Because you threw out of Rosh Hashanah Yachid through the airspace above 10 Tefachim Tor, which is a Makom Tor, into the other Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So you didn't do anything wrong, strictly speaking, by doing that. Because the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, well, let's say you throw a sticky ball or something, a sticky, little man, and you throw it and it attaches to the wall. I throw it from here and attaches to the wall. Over there, above 10 Tefachim Tor, so then still nothing happened. It went through a Makom Tor and attached to the building. Rosh Hashanah Rabim and Carmelis only go up 10 Tefachim Tor, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah Yachid that goes all the way ad the Rakia. So that's the first unique characteristic of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Linked to that is the second characteristic of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is mentioned by the Rama over here, Shin Mem Hei, at the end of Sif Yud Tes, where the Rama says that you cannot have another Rishus in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid. Meaning you can't have a Makom Tor in a Rishus HaYachid. A fire hydrant will not be a Makom Tor in a Rishus HaYachid. Then that's just part of the Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid eats up everything that's inside of it. So once you have a Rishus HaYachid, you can't have a Carmelis in a Rishus HaYachid. Once it's a Rishus HaYachid, it envelops everything that's in it. That's part of the same idea of the Mechitzas going all the way up to Shamayim. And it envelops everything that's in it, and it's Mevato any other Rishus. So a fire hydrant in Rosh Hashanah Yachid would not be considered a Makom Tor, only if it's in a Carmelis or Rosh Hashanah Rabim. There you can have a Makom Tor, you can have a Carmelis in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but you can't have anything in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So that's the second characteristic that's unique to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. A third characteristic that's unique to Rosh Hashanah Yachid is mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch over here, Siv Vav. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kalim can be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, meaning you could have a refrigerator box that's outside in front of your house. If it's 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim tall, that could be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. A fire, a mailbox can be, even if it's not screwed into the ground, can be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa writes, even a table could be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, even though it has no mechitzas, but maybe it has Tzuras HaPesachs all the way around. This is an interesting discussion. But karmelist, you can't, I'm sorry, you can't, kalim cannot be a karmelist. Or kalim cannot be Rishus HaRabim. That's discussed over here by the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Tes Zayin. He says, if you have kalim, the Shulchan Aruch says you can have kalim be a Rishus HaYochid. But let's say you have kalim that don't have the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. And it's in less than 4 by 4 wide. So he says, so what is it then? Let's say you have outside, in the Rishus HaRabim you have a refrigerator box, but I guess it's cut down, or I guess air conditioner box. It's not 4 by 4 wide or 10 tefachim tall, but it is raised out of the Rishus HaRabim. So then what is it at that point? So Mishnah Brura says, well, it can't be a karmelis, because the karmelis cannot be kalim. Karmelis was Gzeirah Midrabbanan. They didn't make Gzeirah Midrabbanan on kalim, because kalim and achalik Rishus La'atzmam. So he says, kalim can't be a karmelis, because they never made the Gzeirah of karmelis be kalim. So what is it then? It's not a Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't have the proper dimensions. Rishus HaYochid could be made out of kalim. But karmelis doesn't exist by kalim. It's unique to Rishus HaYochid. So then what is it? If you have this box in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, what is it? So if you look in the Sharatzi and Sifkal and Tezvav, he has a machlaikas about this. One opinion is, since it's not a karmelis, it reverts back to being part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's batal to the Rishus HaRabim. And then he quotes from another opinion that it's a makom ptur. Since it's not a karmelis, because it ain't karmelis bekalim, so even though it's more than 4 by 4 wide, let's say it's 8 tefachim tall, but 4 by 4 wide, so it's not a Rishus HaYochid because it's only 8 tefachim tall, but it is 4 by 4 wide. So anything that's 4 by 4 wide should have been a karmelis. But here, it can't be a karmelis, because it ain't karmelis bekalim. So what is it? So one opinion is, in the Sharatzim, it reverts back to being the Rishus HaRabim. The other opinion is, no, it becomes part of the, it becomes a makom ptur. Even though it's bigger than 4 by 4, it could be a makom ptur. The Achronim suggests it could be these Rishonim, which the Sharatzim quotes over here, what's the status of Kelim and Rishus HaRabim that don't have the proper dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, are arguing about what's the nature of Makom Ptur. True Karmelis doesn't exist by Kelim. What about Makom Ptur? Can Makom Ptur exist by Kelim? So if Makom Ptur is its own Rishus, that is its own regulations, maybe it doesn't exist by Kelim either. But if Makom Ptur is just whatever is not anything else, so maybe you can have a Makom Ptur with Kelim. Interesting discussion. Anyway, but this whole idea of having a kli be something is only with regards to Rishus HaYochid. By Karmelis, it doesn't exist. Even if it's bottled to the Rishus HaRabim, it's just a pshat that the box is bottled to the Rishus HaRabim. It's not really part of the Rishus HaRabim. So the third unique characteristic of Rishus HaYochid is that a kli can be a Rishus HaYochid, as opposed to a Karmelis or a Makom Ptur, or perhaps even a Rishus HaRabim. You can't have a kli be a Rishus HaRabim. The fourth unique characteristic of Rishus HaYochid is mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch here, Sif Dalet, is with regards to Chayrim, which is holes, literally, but it means there's appendages to a Rishus HaYochid. That's what's discussed over here. If you have a hole in the wall of next to a Rishus HaYochid, that could also be part of the Rishus HaYochid. Since the Rishus HaYochid fills up the whole airspace, it might even fill up little holes in the wall. You have this. This is, let's say, a window ledge. If the window would open and there would be a ledge outside where you could put flowers, so then that would be Rishus HaYochid. Whoa, but it's sticking out. It doesn't have 4x4 wide and 10 tefachim tall. So that's one opinion that could be, it's kind of an appendage to this Rishus HaYochid. So that's a unique halacha that only exists by Rishus HaYochid. By Rishus HaRabim, the Rama writes there in Sif Dalet, that Rishus HaRabim, Chayrim, meaning if you have a hole in the wall of the side of Rishus HaRabim, that doesn't automatically become part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's nidon kefimi doiseihem. It's judged on its own merits. So if it's less than 3 tefachim to the ground, then it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's batal to the Rishus HaRabim. But if it's more than 3 tefachim to the ground, above the ground, so then it's nidon kefimi doiseihem. We judge it like its own separate Rishus. If it's less than 4 by 4 wide, or less than 10, then it's makom ptur. If it's more than 4 by 4 wide, but less than 10 tefachim tall, it's a karmelis. Because everything that's 4 by 4 is usually a karmelis. Unless it's 10 tefachim tall. Once it's 10 tefachim tall and 4 by 4 wide, it becomes a Rishus HaYochid. But you judge it based on its own merits. It doesn't get schlepped along with the Rishus HaRabim. However, there are two opinions over here in the Mishnah Brura, in Sifkat and Tes, and in Sifkat and Yud. Even with regards to Chayrim, one opinion over here is that it has to be 4 by 4 wide, even to qualify as a Chayrim Rishus HaYochid. And the other opinion is that it might even have to be that it has to be 10 tefachim tall, I mean 10 tefachim above the ground, in order to qualify as a chayre rishus hayachid. So this window ledge would be 10 tfachim above the ground. So it might have that characteristic, but it might not be 4 by 4 tfachim wide. So some hold that in order to be a chayre rishus hayachid, it has to be 4 by 4 tfachim wide. But if you have it, let's say you have a deck that doesn't have its own mechitzas around it, and you're in an area where there's no Erev. So a deck that's 4 by 4 tefachim wide, that's 10 tefachim above the ground, that doesn't have its own kasher mechitzas, meaning let's say it's on stilts. So, but it might have the status of chayre rishus hayachid, in which case it would be rishus hayachid by definition. So you'd be able to carry out, an appendage to rishus hayachid, be able to carry out from the house to the deck, even though there's no mechitzas around the deck. Rav Shechter pointed out, if it's 10 tefachim above the ground, you have to put up walls anyway because someone could fall off and get hurt. It's a chiyuv of makah. That's a separate issue. But it might be Rishus HaYachid independent of that. This discussion, though, whether or not it has to be 4 by 4 tefachim wide or 10 tefachim above the ground in order to be called Chayre Rishus HaYachid, comes up. The Paiskim raised this issue with regards to if you live in an area where there's no Erev or you're not, you know, machmer not to carry in the Erev. So what do people do about their keys? How do they get into their houses? So now everyone has the punch lock. But before they came up with these punch locks, everyone used to keep their key in their belt. It has to serve a significant purpose of the belt. We're not discussing that now. You can't just, you know, attach it on a key ring to the belt. That doesn't work. But if it's integral to the belt, so maybe that's part of the belt. So what do? They put the key in the belt. And then what are they going to do with the key in the belt? What are you going to do? When you get to the door, you'll take off your belt. They put the key into the door. Whoa! But where are you standing? In a karmelis. So you took the key out of the belt. You're standing in the same spot. You're not moving anywhere. You can't have a hitzah like that. But you go, where are you taking the key? Now you're putting it into the keyhole. Oh, you just inserted it into the chayre rishus hayachid. You just carried the key from a karmelis into a chayre rishus hayachid. So how, with your key belt, the whole fancy key belt, how did that help you? Once you get to the door, you can't do anything. You can't put the key into the door because it's chayre rishus hayachid. So if you say Chayre Rishus HaYachid has to be 4 by 4 tefachim wide, maybe it's not Chayre Rishus HaYachid, but we should be machmer that maybe it is Chayre Rishus HaYachid. So how can you stick your key into the door? So Shmir Shabbos Kochasa writes that there's two types of keyholes. If it's the proverbial keyhole where you peek through the keyhole and you can see into the house, which don't exist anymore. So if you have that, that's Chayre Rishus HaYachid. But if you have the keyhole where there's a mechanism in between, there's a whole lock over there, you can't see through the keyhole into the house. So he claims that perhaps that's not Chayre Rishus HaYachid, and that's why it's allowed. There's a tshuva sefer, though, the Betzel HaChokhmah, or Betzel Stern from Vienna. He raises a different issue, though. He says, what are you going to do? You're going to take your key, he said, fine, it's not Chayre Rishus HaYachid, but you're going to take your key out the belt, you're going to put it into the door. Some doors, though, you have to turn and push. Some you just unlock it, then you can put it back in your belt, and then walk into the house like that. You just turn the knob. Some are, at least on the buildings over here, in front of the apartment buildings, a lot of them are turn and push. So once you turn and push, you just push the key inside of the house. So you just did haitzah also. So he says you have to make sure that the whole key doesn't go inside the house. If you only put half the key in, so he has a Mishnah Berurah that's allowed. Sticking half a kli from a karmelis into Rishus HaYachid, he claims, is mutter. But if you're in Times Square, it won't help you. So Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRav Daraisa, then it won't help you. So he raises an interesting point. If you're just in a karmelis, you have to make sure the whole key doesn't go in, because then you're over hotza like that. You just carry from a karmelis into Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaRav, the half key doesn't help. There's an iser even on the half key. Why isn't though the porch? Let's say you get to, you have a house, there's no Erev where you are, you're machmir not to carry the Erev, and you get to the top over there, and you're going to walk up your few steps to your door, you have your whole fancy key belt. Why can't you carry on top of the little area over there that, what do they call that? In the Shulchan Aruch, it's called the scoop-up, but, you know, over there up the stairs, and picture your little brownstone with that little platform. So over there, you're going to take off your key, and we talked about how you're going to have to open the door with your key belt. But why can't you carry over there? Isn't that Chayre Rishus HaYachid? It's no different than the deck that's in the back of the house. So why can't I carry over there? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Shin Mem Vav Sif Gimel writes that no, the front of the house is Nidon Kirishus, that's Lefoneha. If let's say the street is a karmelis, so then the front porch over there is a karmelis too. It's not like the deck. It's not Chayav Rishus HaYachid. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah over there, Shin Mem Vav, Sifkan Lamed Aleph, quotes from the Taz. You got to be careful how you negotiate with your key on the front porch, because it's Nidon Kedekamalis. It doesn't have the status of Chayav Rishus HaYachid. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav asks, why doesn't it have the status of Chayav Rishus HaYachid? It should be no different than the deck. So he explains that there's a difference. He says, no. He says, because the deck is just for your use. So if we have to figure out where the deck goes, who does it belong to, not legally, but who uses it, the only person who's going to use it is the person in the house. So then it's Chayav Rishus HaYachid. But he says the front porch, the mailman comes, anybody could come and walk on the front porch and knock on the door. So since the people from the street also use the porch, it doesn't have the status of Chayav Rishus HaYachid, because it's not Nidon as part of the house, it's maybe Nidon as part of the street. So that's why the Taz says the front porch, even though it should have had the halacha of Chayav Rishus HaYachid, it's an appendage to the house, and it's more than 4x4 wide and 10 tefachim over the ground, it still might have this, not have the status of Chayav Rishus HaYachid. Yeah.
Even if it has overhead?
Oh, so if it has it, if it itself is a Rishus HaYachid, it has mechitzas around, it's raised, and it's solid cement underneath, and you have some sort of tzuras ha-pesach, you have a roof that goes to the front, it should have been okay. But the Rama says, still, you shouldn't do it. He quotes a chumrah from the Mordechai, which we'll get to next time, about Pitikra. You shouldn't rely on Pitikra in that setting. But in theory, you were right. Okay, so that's the fourth unique characteristic of Rishus HaYachid, is Chayav Rishus HaYachid. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yudalah discusses, as we mentioned, Karmelis, the basic premise, the basic understanding, parameters of a Karmelis, is something that's not a Rishus HaYachid, has no mechitzos. Not a Rishus HaRabim either, but it has a makom which is Dawud al Dawud. And a Yam is your classical example of a Karmelis. So the Mishnah Berurah there, Sifkatan Mem Ches, asks, why doesn't the Yam have the status of a Rishus HaYachid because of, like a lake, have the status of a Rishus HaYachid because of the walls that are around it? And you say, well, there's water on top of the mechitza. But we know water, the Shabura says, water does not mavatala mechitza. We're an Avon. Mayim lo mavatala mechitza. So if that's the case, so what that there's water there? The lake should have the status of Rishus HaYachid by virtue of the fact that there's mechitzas around it. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes two explanations as to why a lake doesn't have the status of Rishus HaYachid because of mechitzas. He says, either because mechitzas in big lakes are too far, that you don't feel like you're enclosed. We discussed this when we talked about the continental shelf, that it might not be a mechitza because it's too far apart. You don't feel like you're enclosed. So Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Me'iri like that, that you have to feel like you're enclosed. And then he says another pshat, that it could be because all lakes, man-made lakes for sure, are like this, that they gradually go in. There's no sudden drop. So it doesn't even have the status of a tail of mislaket. It wouldn't have the status of, which we're going to talk about next time also, it doesn't have the status of a tail of a mechitza, of a hill, because it's too minor of a slope. In order to be called the tail mislaket, it has to go up 10 tefachim berum daod amas. It has to go up 10 tefachim within the span of daod amas, which is like a 22 and a half degree angle. So if it's less than a 22 and a half degree angle, it wouldn't have the status of Rishus HaYachid. So Mishnah Berurah mentions those two pshatim as to why a lake doesn't have the status of Rishus HaYachid. As Rishus HaYachid, it's rather a Karmelis. Then we mentioned there's another type of Karmelis. There's another type of Karmelis which is not a Makom Ptur Midai Raisa, just it has a Shir Daud Al Daud, so they made it into a Karmelis. There's a type of Karmelis which is a Rishus HaYachid Midai Raisa. That's mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch over here, Shin Mem Vav Sif Gimel, which is a Karpif. A Karpif is an area which was low Hukof Ledira. Let's say you have natural walls that surround this city. But it wasn't Hukof Ledira, so then the natural walls are not good enough. Midaraisa, they are. The natural occurring walls are fine. But if the whole area is naturally occurring walls, then the area is called, if you make a tikkun on it, then it's now Hukof Ledira. But if it was naturally occurring like that, that's Loi Hukof Ledira. So if it's an area that's greater than Beis Asayim, if it's greater than 70 yamas by 70 yamas, which is 125 feet by 125 feet, that has the status of a karpif, and you're not allowed to carry there. Even though Midai Reis is a Rishus HaYachid, but it's Loi Hukof Ledira, you're not allowed to carry there. So Mishnah Berurah there, Shin Mem Vav Sifka in Yud Zayin discusses, well, what about this interesting case? Can I walk from a Karpif Sug A to a Karpif Sug B? Meaning, can you walk from a Karpif that's a Rishus HaYachid Midai Reis to the Karpif that's Midai Reis HaMakom Ptur? if it's less than Dalet Amos? Meaning, do we treat them all as the same, or do we acknowledge the fact that there's two types of karmelios? You know, there are two types, and we say you can't carry from one to the other. They're like two separate sugim. Or no, that once we made them all karmelios, they all get along together. So Mishnah Berurah says they all get along, because if you know what, we're going to start distinguishing. This is a karmelios, which is really Rishus HaYochid. This is a karmelios, which is really a makom tor. Then people will get confused and they start making kulis all over the place. And so he says better to treat them all like one category of karmelios, and we treat them all as the same. Because karmelios, by and large, with the exception of a karpif, or the exception of an area that has three mechitzos, by and large, since a karmelios, by and large, is really a makom ptur midoraisa, so the Rama has two opinions. In Shin Mem Hei Sif Yutes, can you have a makom ptur in a karmelios? Meaning the ancestry of a karmelios is really a makom ptur. So can you have a makom ptur in a karmelios? Meaning, let's say you have a fire hydrant in your suburb. Does that have the status of a makom ptur, or perhaps it gets swallowed up by the whole karmelios? The Rama quotes the opinion, says, one opinion says that it's matzah min es minoy v'neir, which is like a Yoredeya term. But he says, maybe since we were goyzer and the whole area is a makom ptur, we were goyzer and the whole thing to be a karmelios, so what? You have one parking meter, it doesn't make a difference. The parking meter gets swallowed up in our whole gzera, matzah min es minoy v'neir. Or no, maybe we say a makom ptur can exist in a karmelios. This might also allude to that issue that we mentioned before. What's a makom ptur? Is a makom ptur its own reshus, like stand by itself? Or maybe it wilts, meaning it's just anything that's not anything else, and it could get swallowed up by the larger karmelios. Anyway, so that's two opinions in the Ramah. We have the minhag to be machmir, the Mishnah Berurah says, that you cannot have a makom ptur in a karmelios. This is an afkamina. If you're in an area that doesn't have an Eruv, and you by accident walk out of the house with something in your pocket. So the Paiskim all discuss, what should you do? You walked out of your house with something in your pocket, what should you do? So they talk about, maybe you should go walk, keep walking, don't stop, because you can't be chai for a tzong as you had an Akira and a Hanacha. You started and you stopped in the Rishus HaRabim, you started in Rishus HaYochid, stopped in Rishus HaRabim, or you started in Rishus HaRabim, stopped in Rishus HaRabim. But if you keep walking, you have no hanacha, so then you can't be chai for itzah like that. It's awesome in the Rabbanim, but you can't be chai for itzah like that. So maybe the eitz is keep walking, not to stop. And if you get stuck at a stop sign, you know, walk in a circle till the light changes. But don't stop. But the eitz, or you could go keep walking and go back home. Keep walking, go to the shul. They don't talk about all these eitzes. The best eitzah that they all mention is to, as you're walking, put it on a fire hydrant, or put it on a parking meter, because that's a makom ptur. So you walked out of Rishus HaYochid and you put the ice down on a makom ptur. That's okay. Ah, but if you're not in Times Square, meaning you're not in an area that Kuli Amalo Pligis, which is Harabim, you're in an area where it might be a karmelios, so then that fire hydrant eitzah might not work for you. Meaning if you will hold over here, you can build an Erev over here in the Heights, and the Heights is not Rishus HaRabim, then you don't have the head of a makom, it's a karmelios, then there's no such thing as a makom ptur over here. So if you walk out of your apartment, you mark me not to carry in the Eruv, so it doesn't make sense really to put it down in the fire hydrant, because if it's a karmelios, there's no makom ptur in the karmelios, and you lose that eitzah.
Mimanafshach,
what?
If it's a
Rishus HaRabim. Meaning if it's a karmelios, the Eruv works.
Yeah.
And if your mark was Rishus HaRabim,
maybe.
Yeah.
You have Castle 93.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fine. Right. Yeah. Good. So that's that discussion. What is the status of a karmelios of the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Mem Hei Sifkana and Gimel quotes him the Gemara in Shabbos that we gave it the Kulei Rishus HaYochid and Kulei Rishus HaRabim. So there's no halach of chayrim by a karmelios. That's a chumra of Rishus HaYochid. We didn't impose that by a karmelios. But it has the cool of Rishus HaRabim, that it doesn't go above 10 tefachim off the ground. The airspace of a karmelios is not like a karmelios. It's also a chumra of Rishus HaYochid and a cool of Rishus HaRabim. So it has the coolest of Rishus HaYochid, the coolest of Rishus HaRabim. And it also has to be 4x4 wide. That's a kula. So it has that's the halach of karmelios. So karmelios, the airspace doesn't go above 10 tefachim. So that's why the Gemara says, "Ain karmelis Gemara in Shabbos, ain karmelis l'mal me'asara." There's no karmelis above 10 tefachim. So what that should have meant is that the airspace above a karmelis only goes up to 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim is a makom ptur. However, the Mishnah Brura over here, Shin Mem Hei, Sifka and Samech Vav, quotes a Machlekes HaRishonim exactly what does that mean, that ain't Karmelis L'mal Me'asara. One opinion is that it means that the Karmel, the airspace, doesn't go above 10 Tfachim, like we said before. However, the other opinion that's quoted over there, the Gra, he quotes the Gra from the Yushalmi, which is, no, what it means is a Karmelis cannot exist 10 Tfachim off the ground. If you're 10 tefachim off the ground, you can't have a karmelis. Karmelis is only within 10 tefachim to the ground. Above 10 tefachim is not a karmelis. This comes up, I'm sorry, I didn't bring a thing, but this comes up with regards to the case of the Gag HaBayit. The Gag HaBayit is, if you have, we shall discuss it, let's say you have a big apartment building like this, and the roof, the whole desk is an apartment building, and the roof sticks over like this. So what's the, it takes up the whole wall over here. So what's the status of the rooftop over here? So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's a karmelis. Why is it a karmelis? Because you only have three walls. You have this wall, this wall, this wall, and over here, the fourth wall, you have the roof sticking up over it. And you don't say good asik mechitzta if unless it's mechitzas hanikaros. The only time you say that the wall continues to go up is if the mechitza is nikar over here. But since over here there's a gag that's protruding over the mechitza, you can't see the mechitza anymore. So the whole, this wall doesn't count, it doesn't continue to go up, and the whole rooftop has the status of a karmelis. That's the Shulchan Aruch says. That's one opinion of the Mishnah Berurah. However, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra and the Yushalmi, that no, up here on top of the roof has the status of a makom ptur. Because ain't karmelis l'mal me'asara. You can't have a karmelis above 10 tefachim off the ground. Wow. The Pashup shot is that meant the airspace of a karmelis only goes up 10 tefachim. The Gra quotes from Yishami, it means you can't have a karmelis that's 10 tefachim off the ground. Then the Bir HaLacha though quotes a third opinion, which is with regards to this Gag HaBayit, that it depends. If the roof sticks over the fourth wall less than 4 tefachim, then this has the status of Rishus HaYachid. If it sticks over more than 4 tefachim, then this area has the status of a karmelis.
What?
If it sticks out over.
Why?
So that's the third opinion. That's the Tysus opinion, that it depends how far it's sticking out over.
Okay, why 4 tefachim?
Why 4 tefachim? Yeah. So the Chazon Ish explains, because if it's 4 tefachim, then this mechitza is covered over, and you don't say good asik mechitza. If it's less than 4 tefachim, then it's not so, it is mechitza sanikaros. You can lean over and see it. It's not that ain't onikar. So then you do say good asik mechitza. That's where the Chazon Ish learns pshat. However, others learn pshat. That's where Shefta learns pshat. It's a dachik pshat a little bit, because why should it depend on sticking out 4 tefachim out over? It's a strange shear. If it's less than 4 tefachim, I can lean over and see it. More than 4 tefachim, I can't lean over and see it. Interesting pshat. The Marsha says a different pshat on that Tosfos, on that that opinion, which is Tosfos' opinion. He says if it's sticking out 4 tefachim, so now, what is the status of this roof that's sticking out over here that has no walls? That's a karmelis, because it has no walls. So then, now, this whole rooftop is nifrat to a karmelis. So if it's less sticking out less than 4 tefachim, that's not a karmelis. Karmelis has to be 4 tefachim. It's a makom ptur. But if it sticks out 4 tefachim, that's a karmelis, and this whole area now is nifrat to that area. But in theory, if it's sticking out less than 4 tefachim, even though you don't say good asik mechitzta, you can have Rishus HaYachid without saying good asik mechitzta. That's what the Marsha says. So if Shechla does not like that pshat, why? Because he asked the kasha on it. His kasha is, why does this have the status of a karmelis? It should have the status as a chayre Rishus HaYachid. Reb Chaim asked that. Why do we say that this is nifritz to a karmelis? This should be a chayre Rishus HaYachid to hear. It's a good kasha. Reb Chaim asked that on the Marsha. But more than that, Rav Shechter thinks you can't have a Rishus HaYachid, Chazon Ish also, you can't have a Rishus HaYachid unless there's good Asik Mechitzta. So, how could it be that if it's sticking out 4 tefachim, the only problem is that it's nifritz to a karmelis. But here, really is a Rishus HaYachid. How could it be a Rishus HaYachid? There's no good Asik Mechitzta. This wall is Mesulak Mikan, it's hidden. But that's the Marsha's Peshat and Tosfos, and that's where Moshe's Peshat and Tosfos. There's a big difference, though, between these two opinions, and that is, Rav Moshe discusses, which Rav Shechter also discussed, the George Washington Bridge that starts in the middle of Manhattan over here. So let's say, in theory, as Rav Shechter pointed out, let's say, in theory, Manhattan would have mechitzas all the way around. Let's say, in theory, it would. But still, what would you say about the George Washington Bridge that sticks over? Sir Moshe said, that's not a problem. Because underneath the George Washington Bridge at the edge of the West Side Highway, there'd be a mechitza. That goes up into the middle of the bridge. And that makes the whole area that's inside a Rosh Hashayochid, even that part of the bridge. You can't see the mechitza here. It's mechitza she'en anikaros. Rav Moshe says, too bad. We don't need mechitzas anikaros. You see from Tosfos Pshat that if it's sticking out four tefachim, the only problem is that it's nifrat. But not that this is not a Rosh Hashayochid. So the only problem with the George Washington Bridge sticking out over the mechitzas is that it's nifrat. So Rav Moshe says, no problem. Put a Tzuras HaPesach in the middle of the George Washington Bridge. And Rav Moshe says, I'll do you one better. He says, the gross pshat is you can't have a karmel with a ma'al me'asara if it's above 10 tefachim off the ground. It's a makom tur. Rav Moshe says, maybe the George Washington Bridge is a makom tur because it's 10 tefachim off the ground. So he says, I have 2 out of 3. He doesn't have the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that it's mechitza shein and ikaros over here, and therefore this is the status of a karmelist. Rav Moshe has 2 out of 3, he says. According to the Gra, Yerushalmi, it's a makom tur, George Washington Bridge. And according to the Tosfos, it has to stick out 4 tefachim. It's not the pshat that this is not a Rosh Hashayochid. It is. It's just nifrat. So Moshe says, so the wall underneath the George Washington Bridge comes up, chops off the George Washington Bridge in the middle, put a Tzuras HaPesach there, and you're good. Rav Shechter couldn't, with the Chazon Ish, they disagree with Moshe, and they have a different pshat in their Tosfos, that if it's sticking out 4 tefachim now, it's mechitza she'en anikaros, and you don't say gurasik. If you don't say gurasik, this is no longer a Rosh Hashayochid. So because of that, Rav Shechter felt that the walls underneath the George Washington Bridge don't help for the George Washington Bridge, because it's on a different ground level. It's Mesulok Mikan. It's Mechitzas Shein and Ikaros. So it doesn't help for the George Washington Bridge. Rav Moshe held it helps. You just have a problem of Nifrat, so put it Tzuras HaPesach. So that's all based on how to learn this pshat over here, the third opinion that's mentioned by the Bira Halacha, Shin Mem Hei, Sif Tezayin, with regards to the Gag HaBalei. It's a big issue. A big issue. Okay, so that's the story basically with the Carmelist. What is a Carmelist? What are the specifications of a Carmelist? Moving along, the Shulchan Aruch after that discusses what is the specifications of a Rishus HaRabim. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes many halachas from Rashi in Shabbos and Daf Vav, but Rashi gives you a few details about what is a Rishus HaRabim. So the first thing that Rashi says is in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, is in order to be a Rosh Hashanah, it has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide, 16 Amas wide. Because that was the width of the camp as they traveled in the Midbar, which is where this is Halacha is learned out from, of Rosh Hashanah. So since in the Midbar they traveled in Tez Zayin Amma wide, so too in order to be a Rosh Hashanah, it has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide. That doesn't mean, by the way, Rav Akiva Eger points out in Shulchan Aruch here, that doesn't mean that the street itself has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide. The sidewalk is included. It's not only people in cars. If you're walking, that also is included in the Tez Zayin Amma wide. Whatever area people use to traverse is part of the Cheshbon. It doesn't make a difference how they're traveling. They're all mitzvahs. The Shulchan Aruch over here has a contradiction, which the Mishnah Berurah points out is not a contradiction. It's just two opinions about Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer. If it's Tez Zayin Amma wide and then it comes less than Tez Zayin Amma wide, then it comes bigger again, like an hourglass. So one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is that it has to at least be 13 amos and a shlish wide in the narrow part. If it's less than that, then not. And the other sif, this is sif ches and sif tes. The other opinion is it doesn't make a difference, no matter how narrow it is. So the Mishnah Berurah points out it's two opinions. It's not a machlok, it's not a stira. It's two opinions. How narrow can the Rishus HaRabim become in the middle? One opinion is it has to remain a certain amount. The other opinion is even it gets very narrow. The second specification in order to be Rishus HaRabim, first thing is it has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide. The second one is it can't have a roof. If it has a roof, then that's not Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because it's not similar to the way they traveled in the Midbar. In the Midbar was Einu Makura, so too in order to be Rishus HaRabim, it cannot have a roof. Rabbi Tzvi Ram, the Rebbe in the Yeshiva, who's a Rav in the Lower East Side on the Bialystok and Shtibel. So he was trying to make a tikkun for the Jews over there, as I like to call the lion's den of Erevin, I mean, in Manhattan. So there's only two buildings that the Jews live in the Lower East Side. So you want to make an air between the two buildings across the street from each other. So he came up with an idea to build lovage strings as a roof between, they sometimes hang things from the buildings anyway during different seasons of the year. So he suggested, let them build lovage strings as a roof between the two buildings, and then it will make it not a Rosh Hashanah. Even Rav Moshe should hold, you should be able to build an Erev over there. I don't think it got too far, but that was his suggestion. I haven't heard about it since then, so I don't know if it ever happened. Yeah, Rav Moshe has a tshuva to Rav Menashe Klein, where Rav Menashe Klein wanted to suggest it could be in Brooklyn, or also where Rav Moshe was opposed to making an Erev, that maybe since you have the elevator train, which is like a roof, so that should break up the city into two halves, because at least in the middle you have an elevator train. That's a roof. That can't be Rosh Hashanah. So then we shouldn't be mitzarif one side of Brooklyn and one side of the elevator train to the other side of the elevator train. So Moshe argues, no, even though there's a roof in the middle, that doesn't mean it breaks up the whole area. It means under there can't be Rosh Hashanah. But it doesn't mean that it breaks up the whole area. So that's the second condition in order to be Rosh Hashanah, is it has to be Einu Mekuru. The third one is, which is also comes from Rashi and Shabbos, is that it has to be Mechuvan Mishar L'Shar. It has to be, whatever that means, Mechuvan Mishar L'Shar. Because the Diglei Midbar, when they traveled in the Midbar, was also Mechuvan Mishar L'Shar. Whatever it means, Mechuvan Mishar L'Shar, it sounds like, which literally means go straight through the city. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that that is only in a city that has a wall. In a city that has a wall. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, Ezu Rosh Hashanah Siv Zayin. What's Rosh Hashanah? Rechavos Rishvachim Rechavim Tez Zayin Amah Ve'einu Mekurim Ve'ein Lahem Chayma. Obviously it doesn't have a wall. Va'afilu Yesh Lahem Chayma. Even if it has a wall, Mehe Mefulash Mishar L'Shar. If it's Mefulash Mishar L'Shar, Habi Rosh Hashanah. But it sounds like it's only if it has a wall, then it has to be mefulash mishar l'shar. If it doesn't have a wall, then maybe it doesn't have to be mefulash mishar l'shar. Why? What's the pshat? Because if it has a wall, so let's say you have a city that has a wall around it. So if it bends like this, so then you have a rishus hayachid midairaisa. You have your chazanish, the chazanish with the buildings. Because if it bends, you have wall here, wall here, wall here, wall here. If it goes straight through, so you don't have, even if you have a walled city, it goes straight through, you'll be Rosh Hashanah. But if it bends, so then it's going to bend, there's going to be a break in the wall. Let's say the desk would be a walled city, it's going to break over here and break over there. If it doesn't go straight through, so now I have Rosh Hashanah midaraisa. Because over here there's a wall, and over here there's a wall. Everywhere has three walls. So if there's a walled city, it makes sense that it has to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. If it's not a walled city, then it doesn't have to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. It'll be Rosh Hashanah either way. I wish I had a marker. But it's not so hard to picture. If you picture a walled city that only has two gates, and they're at a right angle to each other. A walled city that only has two gates, but they're at a right angle to each other. So if you walk in one gate, what's going to be in front of you? Wall. What's going to be on the left of you? Wall. What's going to be on the right of you? Wall. That's three walls. Where you walked in is open, but the other ones will be a wall. And so to have you come in the other side, there'll be walls in front of you, three walls. So you'll have Rosh Hashanah midaraisa. Whereas if it runs straight through, so then you only have two walls on either side. So that's what the Mishkanus Yaakov claims, and the Chazanish claims, and Rav Chaim Leizer, and that tshuva about Paris, which we have to mention. They all write that the only time you have to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar is if it's a city that has a wall. Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, but Rav Shechter quoted at the end. We'll think about it. Keep it in mind. There's more to talk about. But Rav Shlomo David, he quoted from Shlomo David Kahana. It's in the Mar Makomos, which is in, who's the Rav in Warsaw. And he has a tshuva that appears in the Divrei Menachem that the bigger the city gets, the less likely it'll be that it's Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. He's clearly assuming that you don't need a walled city in order to be Mefuish, in order to have this requirement of Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. Every Rosh Hashanah, in order to be Rosh Hashanah, has to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. And the more the bigger the city is, they're going to keep expanding the city, and so many streets that keep curving and turning, it's not going to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. Rav Moshe asked on this whole idea that Pashup Shat, which is Mefuish Mishar L'Shar, means it has to run straight through the city. So Rav Moshe asked, why should that be? Why should that? Makes no sense. So therefore, Rav Moshe has his own pshat and what Mefuish Mishar L'Shar means. However, the Achronim called it, Meiri says the pshat, why it has to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. We all know why. He says, if you go straight through, so you know what, you put the pedal to the metal, you know, you go straight through, you can speed up. If it's a, you know, a wavy road, so you got to slow down. So the faster you go, that type of traffic makes it into Rishus HaRabim. If you have to slow down to turn like this, then that's not the you don't have the ease of transportation, so then that is not a Rishus HaRabim. So that's the svar the Meiri throws out there, why it has to be Mefuash Mishar Lashar. Others say already other creative pshatim in what Mefuash Mishar Lashar means. Rabbi Simon, I think in his sefer, in Hilchos Erevin, quotes from Rabbi Shabik, who is a major poisek in Bar Park, and built many Erevin in the Bronx, things like that. So Rabbi Shabik taught that what Mefuash Mishar Lashar means, and others say this too, that what Mefuash Mishar Lashar means, not that it has to go straight through the city like Rav Shlomo David Kahana assumed, like the Pashup Shah and Shulchan Aruch. No, what it means is that you have to have an unobstructed road. So he tied it, he said this, he said, Nidish, it's mefoolish from New York bis California. I mean, it's mefoolish the whole thing. Why? Because you can drive from New York to California, unobstructed. So that whole thing is mefoolish. So that's one pshat of what mefoolish means. Ramosha had his own pshat of what mefoolish means. Ramosha claimed that it means is you have the specifications of the Rishus HaRabim throughout. It never becomes less than Tezainama, never becomes Makura, there's no Dlossos. But if you lose the specifications of Rishus HaRabim, as you continue down the Rishus HaRabim, then that's not Mefulash. The problem is, everyone asks, so you could have a dead end, according to Ramosha, that's Mefulash. What Mefulash means is it never loses the specifications of Rishus HaRabim. There's always Tezainama Wad and Aina Makura. The problem is, what are you going to say? An overpass makes the whole road not Mefulash, Mishar Lashar? Is that true? You have one overpass, the whole thing is not Mefulash, Mishar Lashar? Or what are you going to say? The Shulchan Aruch says, Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer. If it comes from Tezainama to less, Shaila, how much less? But if it comes to less, then it gets wider again, like the hourglass, that's a Rishus HaRabim. So how would Ramosha deal with the Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer? All are problems for Ramosha's pshat. Yeah.
Didn't you come to Ramosha 5 minutes ago in Brooklyn? It's a little bit the rest of it, still
right, no, that's the city. We're going to get to Ramosha's definition of Rishus HaRabim is a city, not a street. But even so, if it would just be a street, meaning like it's a highway, they're going from city to city, you're not in the middle of a city, what are you going to say? One overpass on the New Jersey Turnpike makes the whole thing not Mefuash, Mishar Lashar. If he's willing to say that, then fine, but it's difficult to believe. The next condition that you need in order to be Rishus HaRabim, as mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch, is it has to be, according to some, Shishim Riboy. You have to have 600,000 people traveling on this road. So that's actually two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin. Do you need Shishim Riboy or not? The Mishnah Berurah and Zivkan Chav Gimel writes that since the Shulchan Aruch wrote it as a Yesh Oimrim, it sounds like we don't hold like that. You don't need Shishim Riboy. However, the Shaar HaTzi, which is a big Chumrah, the Shaar HaTzi and Zivkan Chav Beis notes that from the other places in the Shulchan Aruch it's apparent that he holds you do need Shishim Riboy. The Rama seems to hold that you need Shishim Riboy also, because the Rama in Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel writes an important line that nowadays we don't have a Rishus HaRabim. Rama writes, all of our Rishuyas nowadays are Karmelis. We don't have Rishus HaRabim anymore. So why don't we have Rishus HaRabim anymore? Why are they all Karmelis? So the Pashup Shat in the Rama is because you need to have Shishim Riboy. The Bir Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah were Chayshay Shof with the opinion that you don't need Shishim Riboy. If you don't need Shishim Riboy, you're much more likely to have Rishus HaRabim. If you need Shishim Riboy, you're much less likely to have Rishus HaRabim. But the Mishnah Berurah was Machmir for that. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah, I think his son quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, that that's why he was machmir not to carry an Erevin, because he was chayshish for that opinion, that you don't need Shishim Riboy in order to have a Rishus HaRabim, and if it's a Rishus HaRabim, the Rai says, we'll get to, you can't build an Erevin. Yeah, but as many are makel that you do need Shishim Riboy, that you do need Shishim Riboy to be a Rishus HaRabim, and if there's no Shishim Riboy, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, you can build an Erevin. So what is Shishim Riboy though? What does it mean? So there seem to be three opinions here. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Chav Dalet writes that the Shulchan Aruch says already, you need Shishim Riboy Oivrim Bo B'chol Yom. They travel, it sounds like, on this exact spot every day. So Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Chav Dalet writes, he searched through all the Rishonim. He never found such a definition. You have to 600,000 people travel this exact spot every day. The Achronim point out it's a Ramban, it's a Sefer HaTshuva, it's a Bahag. Beis Yosef quotes this. I don't know why the Mishnah Berurah says this. Rabbeinu Yerucham. Why did Mishnah Berurah say he looked in all the Rishonim and couldn't find it? They quote many Rishonim that said like this. You need 600,000 people travel over this exact spot every day. That's a pretty demanding shear. The Bir Halacha already quotes from the Ritva and the Ran at a different definition. Already lowered the bar. What it means is it has to be pasuach l'shishim riboy. Doesn't have to be 600,000 people there every day. As long as 600,000 people could travel on this area, I don't know in how long, but it's open to 600,000 people. It doesn't sound like it has to be every day. So that's why the Aruch HaShulchan already writes that train tracks will probably be Rosh HaRabim according to this opinion. It's open to 600,000 people, even though there aren't 600,000 people there every day, but it's open to 600,000 people.
According to that opinion, any main road
in this city. Nah, it can't handle the traffic of 600,000 people.
How
I don't know what the shear of time is, but it's
how much space do you have? Do you have a car on the road, or do you have to have each spot?
No, on that spot, they're still with that spot, but it doesn't have to be there every day. It has to be open to 600,000 people. The third opinion is quoted by the Sha'ar Tzion over here, Sifkat and Chavhei, where he says, no, it doesn't mean 600,000 people on this road. It means 600,000 people on the streets of the city. And that's the way Rav Moshe goes. Rav Moshe doesn't even quote the Sha'ar Tzion. He says on his own that Rishus HaRabim is not defined by one street, is defined by a city, which, by the way, has a huge chumrah attached to it, which is that we're not going to now judge each street independently. We judge the city. And if the city has the status of a Rishus HaRabim, then all the streets of the city, even if they are a dead end, have the status of Rosh HaRabim. So if you're following Rav Moshe, and that's why you don't build an Erev in Brooklyn, so then you can't do it even on a dead end street. Because once all Flatbush has the status of Rosh HaRabim, if you should assume like that, so then it would even be the dead end streets have the status of Rosh HaRabim. It goes, it's the whole city, lock, stock, and barrel. So the that's the opinion that Rav Moshe goes
with. Why can't the dead end be Makit, meaning it has to be?
Why should it be? It's not mefulash. Rav Moshe held it is mefulash. Mefulash just means that it has to be have the gedarim throughout. Here it has the gedarim. It's tezayin amawad. It's tezayin amakura. So the fact that it's a dead end is irrelevant.
It has gimel mechitzas.
Right. So Rav Moshe doesn't hold it with chazanish. We'll get to why.
No, not chazanish. It doesn't mean chazanish.
It doesn't. One end. How'd you get into the dead end?
Meaning on the fourth side.
Yeah.
But once it has.
But now it's attached to the Rosh HaRabim, so that disrupts all your mechitzas. Yeah, it's part of the Rosh HaRabim. It's part of the Rosh HaRabim, yeah. We're going to have to get to it. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. They have to be Tez Zayin Ama and Enu Makura. If it's less than Tez Zayin Ama and Enu Makura, then it can't be Rosh HaRabim. But once it has those Gedarim, the whole city, all the streets.
But the whole way on that street you still need, right?
Yeah, the whole way on the street you still need it, yeah.
The street can be any tiny side street.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It has to be Tezayin Amah wide, but we don't have streets that are less than Tezayin Amah wide. So Rav Moshe says, though, but 1 minute. How do you judge the streets of the... And where does the Shishim Ribo? Shishim Ribo means on the streets of the city. So Rav Moshe says, well, where does the city start? Where does it end? So Rav Moshe says it goes based on the shear that they traveled with in the Midbar, which was Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil. This is Rav Moshe's shear. Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil. That's how you have to judge it. And there have to be 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given time. Then Rav Moshe says the areas of Rosh HaRabim. If within the area of Yud Beis Mil, while Yud Beis Mil, there's not 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given time, so then you don't have the status of Rosh HaRabim. How do you know if there's 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given time? So Rav Moshe did a sociological suggestion, which he says suggests that there are between one and four and one of five people in the general population will be on the streets of the city at any given point in time. I mean, if you have five people in the house who live in the family, at any given time, one out of five is probably in the streets of the city at any given point in time. So Moshe said, if you have in this area of Yud Beis Mil, Yud Beis Mil, a population of 2.4 million to 3 million people, then you will have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given time. So Moshe said in Flatbush, you have that. So that's why Moshe had a problem with making an Arab in Flatbush. Manhattan, he didn't raise this issue, because he assumed that there were real walls all the way around, which may or may not, which might have been true then, might not be true now, and therefore he didn't raise this issue. He's going to raise another issue, but this issue he didn't bring up. But if it has a status of Rosh HaRabim, you can't use Tzuras HaPesachs anymore, and then that was the issue with regards to Flatbush. Everyone asked, though, that Rav Moshe has two tshuvas, right, one right after the other, at least in the same volume. I think they're one right after the other, where he says he can't make an Erev in Flatbush, but they could make an Erev in Kew Gardens Hills. What's the difference? Why is Kew Gardens Hills different than Flatbush? So Talmidim from Ramosha say different yeshuvim. He doesn't explain what the difference is. He was matir in Kew Gardens Hills, and he was machmir by Flatbush. So some say the pshat in Kew Gardens Hills is because in Kew Gardens Hills there are three highways that box off Kew Gardens Hills. There's the Grand Central, the LIE, and the Van Wyck. So that boxes it off, and that seals it off. You don't say Yud Beis Mill. You don't join up Forest Hills and Kew Gardens Hills and Kew Gardens because everything is separated by highways. But in Flatbush, everything runs right into each other. So Rav Moshe held, then we look at the whole Yud Beis Mill over there, and you have the density of population that would be necessary to have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given point in time. That's the story with the Shishim Riban. The Mishnah Berurah and Shin Mem Hei Sefkan Yud Zayin, though, quotes from a Magen Avraham, quotes in the name of the Ramban, that it could be, if you're on Jerochem Al-Holchem Eir Le'ir, a highway, then maybe you don't need Shishim Riboy. Rav Shechter quoted like that from his Or Chaim Sapinka, that you don't need Shishim Riboy if you're on Jerochem Al-Holchem Eir Le'ir. This issue, though, was discussed by many poskim. The Avnei Nezer has this discussion, and it's machlekes between himself and the Yeshua's Malkoi. How did they argued about how to paskin with regards to this issue. Does a highway need Shishim Riboy, or does a highway not need Shishim Riboy? The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman, the Hid of Raya, that it does need Shishim Riboy, even a highway. How does he know? Because the Ramah said, we don't have Shin Mem Hei, Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel, the Ramah writes, we don't have Rishus HaRabim anymore. What, they didn't have highways? In Ramah's time, everything was side streets, it was so settled, the entire earth, there was no highways. How can it be? What do you mean we don't have Rishus HaRabim anymore? So Shlomo Zalman says, you see from here, the Ramah held he needs 600,000 people even on Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir. But the others argue that no, what the Ramah meant is we don't have Rishus HaRabim in the cities anymore. But between cities, Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir, you would have Shishim Riboy. Ramah was also make, so Shlomo Zalman was make on this. I believe that one of the, either I forgot which one, Avnei Nezer Yeshua's Malka was making on this. Rav Moshe, they say, used to sit by and watch the count the cars on the FDR to find out whether or not there was Shishim Riboy or not. So clearly Rav Moshe held that you need Shishim Riboy. Why isn't FDR included in the rest of Manhattan? You judge it by the city? Because Rav Moshe holds the only time you need 600,000 people on one street is if it's a highway. That's the only time you need 600,000 people on one street. Otherwise, you judge it based on the city. You just need 600,000 people on the streets of the city. The only time you need 600,000 people on one road is if it's Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir. Whereas the Mishnah Berurah mentions that one opinion that no, perhaps if it's Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir, you don't need Shishim Riboy. So if Shechter is Machmir, though, on this Shaila, he believes that by highways you don't need Shishim Riboy, but he gives a lumdus to it, which has even more chumras attached to it. If Shechter's lumdus is, but his lumdus is that the reason why don't you need Shishim Riboy on Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir? So he explains it's because that's the paradigm of Rishus HaRabim, meaning that is the Rishus HaRabim. All of these gedarim that we're giving the specifications, Tezainama, Einu Mekura, Shishim Riboy, we're just describing a highway. Meaning if the Shulchan Aruch could have just written highway, V'chol HaDom Elo, that's what we're saying over here. But highway for sure is a Rishus HaRabim, whether it has 600,000 people or it doesn't have 600,000 people. Because of that also, Rav Shechter suggested it could be, even if it's Makura, or less than Tezayin Amo, it could have the status of Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir and be Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So let's say you have one train tracks. Most train tracks are wider than Tezayin Amo because they usually have more than one track. But even if you would have one train track, for sure if it's many train tracks, that's Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir. So if you have a commuter train runs right through the town, so that would be this Shaila. Do you need 600,000 people or not? If you need 600,000 people over in Baba Chol Yom, you might not have that. But if it's Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir, you assume you don't need 600,000 people, you just have a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa in the middle of the town. Let's say the Lincoln Tunnel. Usually someone answers Chef there about the Lincoln Tunnel. What does that mean? Lincoln Tunnel is Makura, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. So he suggested few times, it could be, maybe it is, because since it's a Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir, it itself is a highway, maybe you don't care about the Makura and the Tez Zayin Amo story. So that's why Rav Shechter thought the FDR, even though that is part of the city, it doesn't go anywhere in Manhattan other than around and around and around, so it's not really Drachem HaHokam Eir Le'ir. Different districts of Manhattan are not different Ayaros, But what Rav Shechter then suggested is it could be that doesn't blend into the streets of the city. It's just meant to travel around and around. There's no shops, there's no street lights, there's no this. It's not part of the streets of the city. So once it's not part of the streets of the city, even though it just goes round and around, it might be considered drachma hochma year le year, and you wouldn't need any of these. You wouldn't need any of these conditions. So what do you do if you have such a thing and you want to be machmer like this, that you can't build an Erev around the highway? So there are communities that have highways that go through them. What they do is they box out the highway. You have to build mechitzas along the highway, or like in Tinek, Route 4 is raised. So, but they have Tzuras HaPesachs by every entranceway and exitway. In the streets of the city, they box it out with the Tzuras HaPesach, and Route 4 is separated from the whole Erev. So that's if you want to be machmer for this, that's what you would have to. That's what you'd have to do. There's another, though, could be paradigm of Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara in Shabbos, if you're learning the first parak, you'll get up to it. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Vav writes that Ezo hi Rishus HaRabim, the Gemara says, Sratya uplatya. So Sratya, Rashi says, is drachma hochma ear li ear. That's where Shechter got this idea. Maybe that's the paradigm of Rishus HaRabim. That's the Gemara first response. Sratya is Rishus HaRabim. Then the Gemara says, Platya. What's a platya? It's a plaza. So if you look over here in the Be'er Heitev, Simen Shin Mem Hei, Sifkan Zayin, he quotes from the Rashba in the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, where the Rashba writes that it could be a plaza. Your walls don't even help. A plaza is by definition a Rishus HaRabim. So that was one of the reasons that Rav Moshe Asad making an Erev in Manhattan was to be machmer for this Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh, as quoted by the Be'er Heitev. Rav Moshe said there are certainly plazas in Manhattan, like Times Square. And the Rav Moshe says, even if you have real walls all the way around Manhattan, won't help. Because you have a plaza. And that's Rishus HaRabim by definition. Others argued on Rav Moshe, and they said, that's the Rajman and the Avedis HaKadosh. He made it into the Be'er Heitev, but he didn't get much further than that. So they held, maybe we don't paskin like this Rajman and the Avedis HaKadosh. But that was one of Rav Moshe's reasons for not making an Erev in Manhattan, was to be choshes for this Rajba. The Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who asked, what about the Kotel Plaza? Is a plaza, like Times Square. So then why shouldn't Hashi be able to build an Erev by the Kaisel? So he quotes there from Shlomo Zalman that no, it's only a plaza if it's for business. Machne Yehuda might be a plaza if it would be open for business, Shabbos. But he says if it's a shul, how could a shul be a plaza? A shul is a shul. So he claims that this is a shul. The Kaisel is a shul. It's not.
Why does he have to?
It has to be a business area. I don't know if it's deserted on Shabbos. How could it be a plaza? I don't know. I find that hard to believe.
It's
Rosh Hashanah because there's so many people there and there's so much going on. How could it be Rosh Hashanah? Mahmoud is probably closed. No one's there. It's deserted. I don't think so. How could it retain its status? No one's there. How could it be Rosh Hashanah with no one there? Can't have such a thing. It's important to mention, by the way, even according to the opinions, I'm sorry I didn't mention this earlier, even according to the opinions that you don't need Shishim Ribai, that doesn't mean if you have two people and it's Tez Zayin Amma and Einam Akur that it's Rosh HaRabim. The Beis Ephraim writes that and the Shekhinah HaRab is the same thing, that there must be some shear. Even if you don't need Shishim Ribai, there's some shear of population that there has to be Rosh HaRabim. It can't be I have one street in my backyard that's Tez Zayin Amma wide and that's Rosh HaRabim according to the opinion. You don't need Shishim Ribai. But what that shear is he doesn't give a number, but it's not, it might be less than Shishim Ribo, but there's certainly a shear.
So any city with a mall inside can't have an air around it?
Well, if it's inside, then it's boxed out.
Nothing.
That's boxed out. If you have flea markets, Aleihem HaShalom, which they don't have anymore. So then, in theory, yeah.
So you could have it in
Times Square. Times Square is your typical. That's why I always give the example of Times Square.
You can have a large Rishus Yachid with a small enclosed Rishus HaRabim inside it?
Yes, according to the Rajman, the Avodas HaKodesh. However counterintuitive that sounds, yes.
Okay.
Yes, you look it up. Sifkan Zayin, it's over here. Shulchan Aruch also says over here, in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, it cannot have the losos. This is over here in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Dalet also, Sif Beis. They quote from the Gemara that Ein Rishus HaRabim, Gemara in Erev, and Ein Rishus HaRabim Me'arva Elo B'Delosos. Rishus HaRabim can only have an Erev with Delosos, meaning if it has Delosos, it by definition is not a Rishus HaRabim. How many Delosos do you need in order to be Mafkia, the status of Rishus HaRabim? So that's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. How many doors? Shin Samach Dalas of Kut and Vav. One opinion is one door. Obviously, it's on either side. You have two mechitzas and one door. The other opinion is you need two doors. In order to be mafkia, the status of Rishus HaRabim, you need two doors on either side. Then the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions over there, also Siv Beis, Shin Samach Dalet. Do they have to be closed at night? Do you need Dlosos Neulos Belayla or not? If they're closed the whole day, that's called a mechitza. It means if they're closed at night, but they're open during the day. So one opinion is that you need Dlosos Neulos Belayla. The other opinion is it's enough that it's Re'uyos Lino. You could close it. So as long as you have Dlosos Re'uyos Lino, one opinion is that takes off the status of Rishus HaRabim, because you have Dlosos there. Like a, kind of like a super mechitza. The Mishnah Berurah, though, over there in Shin Samach Dalet says we should be machmer. We're machmer that you need dlosos neulos balayla in order to undo the status of Rishus HaRabim. However, the Paiskim all right. Yes, there are other Paiskim, modern contemporary Paiskim, right? That we should be makel on this. It's enough with dlosos haruuyos lino. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says, according to Shulchan Aruch, it's not good enough. But since nowadays we're not sure we have Rishus HaRabim, the Chlal, the Ramah says we have no Rishus HaRabim. So that's one subject. Do we even have Rishus HaRabim? And you're going to be chayishes, maybe we do have Rishus HaRabim, but it should be enough with Dlosos HaRuuyos Lino. That's two opinions. So it's enough with the Dlosos HaRuuyos Lino nowadays. So that's why some times over here, we're going to see on our Erev Torah Mitzvah Hashem, on whatever day that is, Monday, that when they were trying to make the Erev over here, they tried to satisfy everyone. So one of their Beim Yeshiva wanted them to put up Dlosos on either side. So the Dlosos that they put up, I think they're still there. There last year. The glasses that they put up a canister, it's like attached to the telephone light post, and inside is a net, which you could, in theory, pull all the way across the street. But how often do they have to be closed? Is that good enough? How often do they have to be closed? What do you mean, glasses are really lino? How often do they have to be closed? So the Avnei Nezer quotes from a Gemara in Yevamis with regards to a different halacha. The Gemara there says that a sandal shall chalitza. Has to be roi lino. Has to be roi to be worn. Not to be closed. Roi to be worn. So there the Gemara says, it means if anybody could have worn it one time. So the Avnei Nezer says over here too, if the doors could be closed one time, then it's roi lino. He suggests that it should be closed once a year. But he says, he learns that from sandal shel chalitza, if it's worn one time by the Shliach Bezdin, that's a good sandal. So over here it's closed one time, that should be a good door. Yeah, but then the Avnei Nezer has another machlokes with Yeshua's Malka. But let's say the police and I, if we try and open up these canisters and close off Amsterdam Avenue, it's mayhem. We're not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. You can't close off Amsterdam Avenue. So let's say the Memshola doesn't let you do it. They might let you do it one time at 4:30 in the morning to make the rabbi happy, but they're not going to let you do it during the day. So let's say the rest of the day you're not allowed to close these things. You can't. So many held in such a case, that's not called Roy Lino. Roy Lino means we could close it regularly. We only have to close it once. But it has to be regularly be able to be closed. So that's why some had tainas on these losses. It really doesn't help anything because the Memshala doesn't let us close them, and that's a machlekes. If they won't let you close them, is that a good losses? Rav Shechter raised another problem. Rav Shechter doesn't like these losses because he don't think we need them. Once he has his chazanish, he's happy. So he thinks that these glosses were not necessary. But besides that, he attacked the glosses for a different reason. It's because the Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Tshuva here, in Shin Samach Gimel, Sifkat and Yud Beis, you can look it up, discusses a drawbridge. He says, would you say, let's say if a city comes to an end over here, and it comes to the end of a drawbridge, would you say since the drawbridge could come up like this, that's a Delos HaRoy Lino, and that could serve as a mechitza? Can the street itself serve as a mechitza? So the Shari Tshuva says that that's, he discusses that possibility. So Avnei Nezer has a Tshuva where he disagrees, and he says, no, a drawbridge cannot serve as a mechitza, as a delas. Because in order to serve as a delas, even when the door is open, there has to be a door there. I like to give the example like a lap. You know, when you sit down, there's a lap. When you stand up, there's no more lap. So over here, when you put down the drawbridge, there's no more mechitza, it's gone. So how you can't have a mechitza? That's not a delos haroi lino. When it's closed, there's no open. There's no delos. So too, Rav Shechter argued over here too. When they roll up these tennis nets into a little canister, there's no more door. The door is gone. In order to be a delos haroi lino, the door has to be there the whole time. It can't be that it disappears when you roll it up. That's no good. Another problem with the drawbridge comes up by staircases. Rav Shechter discussed using a staircase as a mechitza. Others argue you can't have a mechitza that you walk on. A staircase can't be, if people walk up the staircase, that can't be a mechitza. People walk all over you, you can't be a mechitza. So to the drawbridge. Others argue that the drawbridge is no good because people walk all over it. That can't be a mechitza. It's not a delos haroyganol. And so too, a staircase, even if it would have the status of a tel mislaket, it would be no good because people walk all over it. Can't have a mechitza like that. One last thing about the tlosos is that there's a big machlekes, this comes up. A big machlekes between the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer. In order to be called Dlosos HaRa'uyos Lino, do you have to have a Tzuras HaPesach there the whole time? Meaning, let's say you have, I had this a few times already, let's say you're building an Erev, and we were using, this came up by me, we were using the fence of a school to enclose the city. The school was fenced in a public school. And it was a huge area. But they had a gate where the school buses went in. And there was a real Dallas Haroi Linol. They closed it was Losas Neulas Belaila. They closed them at night. The problem was in the winter time, the school is still open when it's Shabbos. Or they have extracurriculars or whatever. So the door is open, it was greater than 18 feet, greater than Eser Amos. But there's Mamish Adelas there. They could close it. So it's Losas Ruyas Linol, they're gonna close it later that night. So is that good? So the Chasam Sofer writes, that's fine, that's a good Dallas, it's good mechitza. However, the Chazon Ish argued the only time a Delas HaRoi Lino is a good mechitza is if there's a remaining residual Tzuras HaPesach there. There has to be something there when the door is open. If there's nothing there when the door is open, then it's not a good mechitza. So according to the Chazon Ish, we couldn't use that fence. That's the big machlokes between the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer. Okay, so these are the gedarim of all of the different four reshuyos. What is the conceptual basis for all of our erevin? It's important to be very familiar with. Rav Shechter mentioned at the beginning, but it's a little more, it glossed over one important point. And that is that the Gemara in Erevin has a contradiction. The Gemara in Erevin quotes machlokes between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to osu rabim u'mavatal mechitza. Let's say you have rabim, not a mechitza people literally walk on, but a mechitza that people go underneath it all the time. They go through it. Not that they walk on top of it. They go through it. So does that disrupt the mechitza or not? Do we say, Osu Rabim u'mevata mechitza, the Rabim coming that disrupts the mechitza? We say, Lo Osu Rabim u'mevata mechitza. The Rabim coming through does not disrupt the mechitza. So the Gemara there quotes a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan with regards to this issue. It's with regards to Pasi Biros. Pasi Biros is the following. When they were traveling to be Ola Regel, so there was no Erev all the way, and people would stop, and they would want water from the well in order to drink from. So in the middle, over here, let's say there was a well. A well. Sorry, I don't even have a pen. Oh. There was a well over here. Like this. In order to allow people to drink from the well, they built around the well pasim. Pasim are boards. So they built four in each corner. They built pasim like this. So that's halacha l'moshe Mesinai, that's good. And they did it for the tzarech of the Oilei Regalim, so they should be able to take water from the well. Otherwise, the wells are shesayachid, you can't take out water from there, because this is a karmelis. So they built these pasi biros, that you could take water out of the well, you would be here, take your water, and you could take it out of the well, fine. But the rabbim are going through your pasi biros. Do we say, osu rabbim about the mechitza or not? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, yes, we say, osu rabbim about the mechitza. The Rabbanan's opinion is that you do not say, we say, Lo Yosu Rabbim Mavata Mechitza. Fine. Then the Gemara asks, Kasha, Bain according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bain according to the Rabbanan. And both Kashas are important. The Gemara says there's another Machlek between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan with regards to this issue, but it's the reverse. The Gemara is discussing if you have two Mechitzas like this, and you put a Lechi on either end. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbim go through. So does that disrupt your lechi, your little one pole over here? Does that disrupt your lechi on either end? Or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Loi osu Rabbim u'mavata mechitza. The Rabbim don't bother me. And the Rabbanan say, osu Rabbim u'mavata mechitza. That the Rabbim come and they disrupt the lechi. So the Gemara says, Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers the two Kashas. The Gemara says, for the Rabbanan, on the Rabbanan, it's not a Kasha. Why? Pasi biros, the Gemara says, are mechitzas brios. Those are strong mechitzas, what the Gemara calls shame dalet mechitzas. That's real four mechitzas. That's a good, these are good walls. The Rishonim call mechitzas brios, but it's called shame dalet mechitzas. That's strong walls. Lechi is a weak wall. So then Rabbim come in the Mevatel the Lechi, even according to the Rabbanon, who paskin loyal to Rabbim Mevatel mechitzas when it comes to strong walls. Weak walls, mechitzas gross, they paskin also Rabbim Mevatel mechitzas. And there's a machlokes harishonim, what is a turas ha-pesach? Is that a mechitza grua or a mechitza bria? Most assume it's a mechitza grua. So even according to Rabbanon, who paskin loyal to Rabbim Mevatel mechitzas, Rabbim will come through and be Mevatel a turas ha-pesach. So that's why you cannot build the turas ha-pesach according to the Rabbanon around the Rishus HaRabbim, even if we passing like the Rabbanon. You cannot, the loyal to Rabbim Avatam Mechitz, you cannot build a Turas HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim, because we'll say, oh, to Rabbim Avatam Mechitz, and Turas HaPesach Mechitzah Grua. However, then the Gemara quotes according to Rabbi Yehuda. What about the Kash of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda held here, you say, oh, to Rabbim Avatam Mechitzah, whereas when you have the two Mechitzahs with the two Lechis, he said, loyal to Rabbim Avatam Mechitzah. So the Gemara says, it's because Rabbi Yehuda held, two Mechitzahs is enough Midaraisa. You just needed the Lechis Midarabanan. And whenever all you need is a mechitza midrabanan, then we say lo yasu rabim vata mechitza. Even though over here he held asu rabim, that's because you need these four all midaraisa. But when you have the two walls with the two lechis, you didn't need them midaraisa. It's enough with two, according to Yehuda. So then you say lo yasu rabim vata mechitza. So even according to Yehuda, holds asu rabim vata mechitza. If all you need the mechitza is midrabanan, we say lo yasu rabim. So if that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, certainly the rabbanan will agree to that. So that's what most of our Erevin are based on that premise. The Aruch HaShulchan writes and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that if all you need is the Mechitza Midrabanan, meaning you have a Kamalis, even Rabbi Yehuda who paskin, the Asur Rav Mavata Mechitza, would agree that you don't say Asur Rav Mavata Mechitza if it's only needed Midrabanan. So if you have a Kamalis, everyone would agree that you could use Tzuras HaPesach because you say Lo Asur Rav Mavata Mechitza. The Shulchan Aruch though writes, this is the last point that we'll mention today, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Dawud, Siv Dawud, how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we paskin like the Rabbanan? What difference does it make? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Rishus Shin Samach Dawud, Siv Dawud, we mentioned it before, the Ein Rishus HaRabim Ma'arva El Bezlosas. In order to be Ma'arva Rishus HaRabim, you need doors. One is a Tzuras HaPesach. Why not a Tzuras HaPesach? So it could be for one of two reasons. It could be because a Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Grua, and we paskin like the Rabbanan. Either lo yasu rabim, but even the rabbanon have their standards. The mechitza grua, they can say yasu rabim. Or it could be that no, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why you need losses. And we say yasu rabim. Could be that that's the pshat. How do we paskin? So that's a big machlokes. The Mishkanis Yaakov writes, we paskin yasu rabim mevatel mechitza. He says if we would have passed on like the rabbanon, a turas haPesach would have been good enough because turas haPesach is a mechitza bria. He says. So it must be the Shulchan Aruch passing like Rabbi Yehuda that also Rabbim Avatam Mechitzah. And the Beis Ephraim disagreed with the Mishkanis Yaakov and he said, no, from the reason the Shulchan Aruch required losses is because the Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitzah Grua. And we really passing like the Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan would say also Rabbim Avatam Mechitzah here. But we don't passing like Rabbi Yehuda. What's the difference whether you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda or you're passing like the Rabbanan? It seems academic. It's relevant with regards to the Heter of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said all of our buildings over here make up in a big city, wherever you have one dead end, then you'll constantly have Rishus HaYachid's Daraisa because of all the buildings put together. You have it'll be Aymed Meruba Aparatz. That was the Heter of the Chazon Ish with regards to big cities. So Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Cutler disagreed. It's in the Mishnah Rabbi Yaron, the Shuvah's Mishnah Rabbi Yaron, disagreed with the Chazon Ish. Why? Because they held, no, we paskin Otsu Rabim Mevatel Mechitzah. What do you say by Aymed Meruba Aparatz? Do you say the Rishus HaRabim comes through and disrupts your Ayman Merubah Laparetz? Or do I say, no, I have Ayman Merubah Laparetz, and that blocks the Rishus HaRabim, and you say, lo yasu rabim vatel mechitzah. So Chazon Ish was basing his whole shita on the opinion of the Beis Ephraim that we paskin lo yasu rabim vatel mechitzah. So then I get started, and I have Ayman Merubah Laparetz with all of the buildings. But if you paskin lo yasu rabim vatel mechitzah, you never get to Ayman Merubah Laparetz. Because Rishus HaRabim keeps breaking up wherever you go, the street keeps breaking up every Yomim Merubah Laparetz. Every time you try to make Yomim Merubah Laparetz, the Rabim come through and break it up. So that this machlekes, this heter of the Chazon Ish, is predicated upon the assumption of the Beis Ephraim that we paskin lo yasu rabim mevatel mechitzah. So it doesn't break up your Yomim Merubah Laparetz. Once I have Yomim Merubah Laparetz, I have Rishus HaYachim Midaraisa, and I can start putting up Tzuras HaPesach. But if you assume that we say asuram v'atam mechitza, then you never have ayim in ruba la paritz. That's where Moshe keeps arguing with the Chazon Ish. Why do you say you have ayim in ruba la paritz? And now after Moshe says yachmid erayis, I'll tell you you never have ayim in ruba la paritz because your streets keep breaking up. You have ayim in ruba la paritz. So that seems to be based on this issue, whether or not we paskin asuram v'atam mechitza, or we paskin loy asuram v'atam mechitza. Okay, straight.